Tokyo, Australia, Germany.
Go head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! It's about a minute and a half past the hour. This is The Horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is where we live. That's where you go if you'd like to, like me, jump into the chat room, which I'm doing at this very instant. Just click on chat room and pick yourself out a screen name and a password and leap right in. Where, as I'm waiting for the production machine, which is barking, to let me know who's in there. Anyway, you will be welcomed and in fact joyfully greeted by the participants in the merry, wacky, zany, multimedia, madcap, real time extravaganza that is The Horn chat room. Yes, you'll be greeted by Barkway and Jug of Punch and Labor Man and Lamar with the silent R. And Squeaky 41 and Steve from Georgia Stan and VT Blom, all capably moderated by longtime, inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who, being a spacing guild master, has in fact folded space this evening to become Man Cave. Yes. And, you know, heck, I might greet you too, because I'm in there as well. So come on in, the conversation is fine. This is a listener-supported broadcast operation. We have no ads here. There are 180 minutes, roughly, of programming each and every evening. And of that 180 minutes, 180 minutes are actual programming and not advertisement. So it is the reason for that is, simply put, the fact that you support the program. That is not to say that if you didn't, we'd have advertising. If you didn't, The Horn simply wouldn't exist. And that's just a fact. But at any rate, we try to raise $200 every evening. And All I can do is admit and confess that I am apparently now in the car repair from hell. I went and unloaded a significant chunk of change today to get a rental vehicle. I admit this was kind of my fault because didn't think about Ferg having to work this morning. So Ferg got up this morning and walked to work. You know, no, nobody's nailing anybody up on the cross over that, but walking on a very much nearly shoulderless two-lane road 4 miles to work in pitch dark, it's a little nervous-making. So I now, because the vehicle was supposedly going to be repaired today, it isn't. I didn't even hear from them. Tried to call. So it looks like I'm spending, I've got a rental. And of course, all they had were pickup trucks. And they rent pickup trucks differently than they do regular vehicles. But that's what I've got, and it was a big old chunk of change. So, yeah, we're going to continue the fundraising this evening because, among other things, I have courtesy of Chris in Germany, a $75 Get Bob's Ride Back on the Road challenge going. So if that gets met, that would be $150 raised this evening. If we can just keep up with the $200 an evening and do it. Because I got no idea. I have no earthly idea what this is going to cost. And when I didn't hear from these guys, you know, these guys being the repair shop, I began to have these sort of horrifying nightmare visions of what could possibly be wrong. And, it's just not fun to think about. And that's, thank you, Marty. Rental, Porsche Cayenne? No. The only thing they had were Dodge trucks. I like Dodge trucks, but they rent kind of expensive. Oh, that sounds like ever so much fun, Barkway. Barkway says, oh, Bob, you'll appreciate this. A friend who passed left us a car. It's in New Jersey. I'm in Florida. It's in arrears in payments and not insured. To get insurance, I need the title. To get the title, I need insurance. And it's in and you're in Florida, and it's in New Jersey. And you're going to have a lot of fun, Barkway. Lots and lots of fun. Thank you kindly, Anatole, letting me know. Lima Chuck in Ohio, Stan, much appreciated. And she said, Barkway says, oh, and if I call the loan company that holds the title to ask the payoff, it'll trigger the repo. That sounds very much like a legacy bequest of the Kobayashi Maru variety. But at any there is a $75 challenge on the table, courtesy of Chris. And look, I mean, I don't know what it's like in ordinary America. I don't think I've ever heard Flush Flemball talking about Baird. Of course, well, never mind. That would have been nasty. The real America. The America that has a death warrant over it right now. So, like I said, we'll keep trying to keep the fundraising going. If you want to help out, go over to headonradionetwork.com, click on Contribute, a recurring monthly box that says makes a recurring monthly, you know, and then it'll happen. Just set it and forget it. Someday, maybe $110 a month subscribers. That's what we call the overnight set it and forget it. And it'll cut down on this kind of talking. But this was unforeseen. And oh, you know what I mean. But hey, there is some good news. Because today is the 5th day of May, 2017, and the 5th day of May falls on a Friday. That means it's Friday, the 5th day of May. That means it is Friday on the front porch. And I'm looking forward to that. In about, 50 minutes or so, we'll fire up the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable, as led and moderated for, lo, these many years, by Sparky. And we'll see what's on everybody's minds. We'll see what people want to talk about this evening. I always get a great deal of pleasure and just plain old-fashioned information out of Friday on the Front Porch because I get a chance to see what is what other people are thinking and what matters to folks. So if you've never participated in Friday on the Front Porch, I heartily encourage you to give it a go. The way you do that is... oh, God, are we going to do this again? Lost the stream. Well, hopefully the internet weather will let up and we'll get it back. Just so you know, I should have probably offered this as a caveat earlier. It's been thunderstorming here today, and anytime it thunders, all kinds of wacky, zany, miserable business can transpire with the program. It, maybe one of these days, some of the more internet savvy members of the community, maybe this evening on Friday on the Front Porch. What do you do when the stream disappears? And apparently we are back. Hallelujah. But that's probably a conversation worth having. Anyway, if you've never participated in the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable that is Friday on the Front Porch, then if you would like to, all you have to do is get on Skype, which is real easy to deal with. Get on Skype and pick, you know, set that up for yourself. And then send a friend request on Skype to Sparky Dunk, SparkyDunc, Sparky Dunk, which incidentally is one word, Sparky Dunk. And when you do that and you tell Sparky that you want to be part of the Friday on the Front Porch group, and you give him some reason not to think that you're just trying to get help with claiming your dead Nigerian prince husband's $1 million fortune, well, he'll show you the breadcrumb trail. And he'll show you which quadrant of the sky to look at when he turns on the Bob signal and flashes it off the clouds. And then, as quick as a wink, you will be part of the Friday on the Front Porch Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable, which is something that just doesn't exist in a lot of other places. I don't know of anybody out there doing anything that even vaguely resembles Friday on the Front Porch. Maybe there is. Maybe there's somebody, but I'm not aware of it. So that's all coming up in about 45 minutes or so. GK says, I find something to do and wait until shows uploaded to White Rose. That's what I do when the stream disappears. I appreciate your candor. I do. But, you know, sometimes it's a matter of going and finding a different quality of stream over at whiterosesociety.org. I don't know. All I can say is that sometimes the magic works, and sometimes it doesn't. Let's get started this evening with a note. This comes in from Matt in San Francisco. I watched yesterday, Matt writes, as the heartless Republicans voted to speed up the deaths of this country's citizens. I listened as a representative spoke about the new replacement plan being great for those people who lived right and made good decisions regarding their long-term health. What the? So people getting sick is due to their own moral failings and poor choices? Well, yes, because we've gone back to the Bronze Age, when illnesses are a sign of the displeasure of the gods, and the sins of the fathers are visited on the sons, and the sins of the mothers are visited on the daughters. Yes, but that's just me. Matt continues and says, this country has no right to claim itself a civilized society. We were hanging on to that label by a thread to begin with, and the Republican Party took some sharp scissors and severed the cord. I think you could probably do it with a fingernail clipping, Matt, because it was the last thread on a frayed pair of dry-rotted Chuck Taylor tennis shoe sneaker shoelaces. Matt says, there is a class war going on, and the wealth class is winning. I just got off the phone with my sister, who is 10 years older than I. She has a myriad of health issues, and she and her husband survive on Social Security disability payments. Today, she took my call, which interrupted her vain attempts at calling her doctor before heading to the emergency room because of relentless pain in her abdomen caused by pancreatitis. And when you talk about relentless pain, pancreatitis is relentless. She was in tears, partly because of the physical pain, but more so from the emotional pain of desperation. The panic that comes with being ignored by a system that is built to not help people like her. The helplessness that comes with being so sick you have to go to the ER without knowing how it will be paid for or how attentive the staff will be because you're one of those poor people that are just a drain on the system. She is sick, and I am sick to my stomach with worry. Will she get the help she needs? Or will she simply be rushed through a system that is not welcoming to people like her? I hate these Republicans with the heat of 1,000 hot suns. It is time for them to sit the fuck down and shut the fuck up. Fuck Trump and fuck them. Signed, Matt in San Francisco. I understand and sympathize with every word you sent, Matt. And maybe, that's another thing that sets this program apart from other productions. The fact that this community is real. The fact that this community is comprised of people who are living lives and not simply providing some kind of entertainment to an otherwise bored populace. I don't know how many other programs are there out there that are hosted by people who aren't paid a big salary and who don't have health care, for whom something like an ER trip is a terrifying economic prospect, let alone the health prospects that are involved. This is not me saying, ooh, ooh, pitiful me, look at me, but more a matter of saying that what we do here, if it's entertaining, that's great. And I get a lot of email from people saying how much this program means to them. I had a note from Steve in New York the other evening, reminding me again in profound sincerity. He said, "This program and this community has saved my life." And I've heard that before. It is the horn is different. We make a lot of jokes about, oh, Mr. Soros, because of the weird paranoia of the right wing that says that all things that they disagree with must of definite by definition and of needs be funded by their by the personal bete noire of the right wing, to wit, George Soros. Little Republican mommies tell little Republican children at the dinner table that if they don't finish their peasant under glass, that George Soros might come and carry them away to his socialist commie hell space in the night. Yeah. But it's real. And the things that people are facing as a result of what was done yesterday are terrifyingly real. Granted, it has to go to the Senate. It has to get past the Senate. But if they can get it over there before it's over there. If they can deal with it by June 15th, they can do it all with just a 51-49 vote majority, and then it's on Trump's desk. And, oh my God, won't we be so much more free? And, you know, I joke about how I got an early bet in with the bookmakers on Ivanka Trump being our first woman president, and I'm going to be sick at my stomach when I win. But I'm going to, well, maybe we can stop having to fundraise for the horn. Got to get those bets in early while the odds are still nice and long. It's a joke. But I would not wager on anyone in the Senate stopping this bill from becoming law for love nor money. Because House or Senate Republicans, either one, they yearn for this. They're getting so close to their ultimate dream of the elect not having to pay any taxes at all. Then they can smell it. And they can taste it. God, think of what a wonderful country this will be when the elect pay no taxes and the poor have no health care and there's nothing left but the pure 200 proof patriotism of anarcho-randian Milton Friedman-esque economic brutality. God, won't that be a day for jubilation? They won't, the Republicans won't be able to contain themselves or satisfy themselves simply by toasting each other with ice-cold bottles of Bud Light. Oh no, it'll be like after the third out of the ninth inning of the World Series seventh game, in the winning team's locker rooms, they'll be hosing each other down with 500-year-old Dom Perignon, provided to them, of course, by their pals Chuck and Dave. And Carl, you can't just kill off a tenth of the citizenry. Carl, Oh, yeah, they can. Sure they can. Because what? We're going to do something about it? The roulette wheel's got a brake on it and a magnet. The little marble is steel, and it stops on the numbers they want it to stop on. I mean, consider, if this bill becomes law, say somewhere around June 16th, then that means the clock starts ticking. And by June 16th, 2018, before anybody has gotten anywhere near a voting precinct, there will be 20 or more thousand dead people. 20,000 less dead people to go and vote against their betters, who knew that death was what they both needed and deserved. Yeah, you're right, Arnold. Arnold points out that maybe that 500-year-old Dom Perignon, if champagne is that old, yeah, that's not going to be contributed by Chuck and Dave and Carl and others. Oh, hell no. That'll be paid for by you and me. Us, we, the people of the United States, trying to make a more perfect union by buying case after case of champagne so that the Republicans can celebrate murder. And what are you going to do? What are we going to do? Huh? They know. Oh, there might be eight or nine Republicans who have town hall meetings scheduled during this recess. But, you know, people get angry. And then people forget. Because the problem with fury is that while it can be effective in the short run, it is almost impossible to maintain in the long run. And the people who should be leveraging that fury, ergo to wit, the Democratic Party, is plagued with an inability to stop stepping upon its own genitals. I had a note, and we hadn't had one in a while. I had a note from Jen in Australia. Subject line, shattered by division. Bob, are we meant to ever talk? Yet again, I couldn't get this bloody Skype monster to connect. Last week, I tried to remove and reinstall it, but nah. I really needed to fucking talk. I mean talk, and you're the man. Here's why. Last time I unloaded it on you, sad, I was in a funk, impatient and disgusted. One of the triggers that I'd been obsessively reading posts at Democratic Underground because it was like staring at a car crash scene, can't look away. Oh my God, the pointless vitriol, the infighting. Hillary, Bernie, Hillary, Bernie! And oh, the ignorance. I finally walked away after screaming myself into a lather at the screen. Yeah, like that's going to help. Fucking Chucky Schmucky is the enemy of progressives. Please stop being so ill-informed. Oh, that's okay. That's like the Sparkle Pony who told me a couple of weeks ago, Sheldon Whitehouse is an establishment shill, dude. He supported Hillary, dude. when Sheldon Whitehouse is the single most consistent voice in favor of us taking sane action regarding climate change that we have in probably the entire Congress, House and Senate together. The establishment shill, dude. Jennifer continues. Get up, woman, I said to myself. Get up out of this chair. Go outside and do something useful. 2 days later, I'd arranged to meet with two women, recruiters, from Democrats abroad, interviewing potential leadership candidates. I'm trying to be a doer, but OMG, I'd have been better off at home with my Ugg boot grub stompers. I had no idea there were Ugg boot grub stompers. I think I would like a pair of those. My Ugg boots are 6 years old, and they're kind of like racing slicks. They're still warm in the winter. Some good bit of the shearling's worn away, but, oh, they're toasty when they've been on the boot warmer for a while. The boot warmer, of course, being a tip I received from Shirley in Wisconsin, and for which I remain eternally grateful. Anyway, that's enough about me. Let's talk about Jen. I don't know why I felt so much older when there was probably only 15 or 20 years between them and myself. Perhaps it was their near complete lack of perspective and actual facts, you know, about people's actual records, like, say, about who Hillary Clinton actually is. I wanted to rip their rose-colored glasses off and stomp them, too. Jesus H. Christ! I voted for the woman. Why am I ostracized because I don't gush about her? What the hell's wrong with these people? They say they're progressive, so what was it about Bernie's policies they found so out of sync with their own? Think, people, think! And read. Even long form. One of the girls refused to look my way and spoke to me in nudges, grunts, and even the odd sneer. Then it hit me. She'd just been telling the other girl that I never read emails. Nope, I just delete. I have no patience for long form. Oh, I should probably read that. Wait a minute. I never read emails. Nope. I just delete. I have no patience for long form. I was trying to get a little vocal fry in there to it, too. So, what? She tweets, and that's it? I'm convinced that is strictly how she communicates and that the vocal eye-to-eye, ear-to-ear speech is foreign to her. It's not her fault. Baby was born that way. I backed off for a minute and thought of you. Me. Of course, you have a Twitter account. You're not near as Luddite as I am, but you talk. I watched them. They are born into electronic disconnectedness. Discontentedishness. And I felt deep appreciation for your word smithness. Your gift of extempore speech. If I weren't packing my suitcase, I don't want to, but I've opted to go to Germany with Graham this year because we've been apart so much lately. I would put in a request that you try calling me, but I'll save that for when we get back. We may yet have an actual conversation with Jen on Skype on air so that everybody can hear and participate. So much for that, then. I won't be taking a position down here after all. It would seem it's the same here as up there. The Democratic Party leadership is still not in sync with their base. Overseas voters went for Bernie close enough to 80%, 79 point something, but there remains this kibosh on discussing Bernie's policies. When it's Bernie's policies that 80% of Americans align with, nor is one allowed to publicly criticize the yabbering yam with his executive order coloring book. Fuck that. Oh, I learned this too, that Hillary lost in those three states. What were they? Pennsylvania, Ohio, and I want to say Wisconsin? Yes. She just took Michigan, right? No, she lost Michigan too. Anyway, Hillary lost there by close to exactly the number of overseas registered Democrats. In tight elections, this is a block worth investing in, and the DNC apportions nil funding while staffing with neophytes. Oh, well. There's always bugs to crush with one's grub-stomping Ugg boots. Yes. They reminded me of two women who approached me in the Nuremberg markets one Christmas. The year was 2001. I was in search of a particular bag of dried apples one can only get there. Huge, huge bag, under 10 euros. Keeps the hungry tourist full for days. Sweet. Excuse me, you're an American too? Yeah, hi, how'd you know? We look different, don't we? Well, your American flag t-shirt might be your giveaway. Do you wear it in honor of what happened 3 months ago? I kid you not, these words are seared into my brain. Remember, we're talking about December 2001. Oh no, we're from Indiana. That had nothing to do with us. So anyway, is there anything to do around here? We only have one day. This is Nuremberg, Germany, remember? I wanted to say do. If your time's brief, here's a thought. Walk. Observe. Allow your feet to take you where you will. Find a square. They're in abundance. Order a strudel. Sit. Breathe. This is great air. People watch. Then walk off the sugar. Watch the skyline. If it's buildings you seek, follow the spires. If you'd prefer open space, you'll see an opening on the horizon. Take that direction. It could lead to a park. But I got straight to my duty as tourist director and said, if you go that way, you'll see an Albert Speer building that was converted into a public toilet. Oddly, it's kind of gratifying to relieve oneself in there. I know it's a bit of a hike. Wait, closer by is there. Walk up there. That's the Albrecht Dürer house. Who's that? You'll figure it out when you get there. Trust me, it's worth it. Does it cost anything? It only has 5 floors, so I'm pretty sure not as much as entrance tickets for the Statue of Liberty. Oh, but New York has nothing to do with you. Off they trudged. Asked to go all the way to the top to see the observatory. They don't always open it. But they were way off, headed in the opposite direction. Bye then. Which is what I ended up saying to my recruiters. From Democrats Abroad. As I shouted them the round of drinks. How I wish it had been you and Agnes in that bar. Oh, that's wistful indeed. How I wish indeed. But it's frustrating. Because we are in an existential struggle. A struggle for our lives. And some of us will be focused on it. And others will be saying, look, a squirrel. Dude, an establishment shill squirrel. And thus, nothing will be accomplished. Jen, you just got a message from Arnold. This is not directed at you, but at the people you were dealing with. Arnold simply says, holy shit, people are stupid. I think Jim Morrison could have gone a lot. People are stupid, as opposed to people are strange. What they're going to do? Hey, Bob. Hey, Ron. They continue to vote for these vicious psychos. Look at what Kansas did with Sam Brokeback. He fucked up the state beyond recognition, and they reelected him. Of course they did. And therein lies some of the genius of republicanism. There will be considerable anger. A little for Lamar with the silent R when I said, look, a squirrel. Run for your life, it has a nut. Yeah. No, therein lies some of the Republican genius. There will be considerable anger and fury. And the people who are able to get up on two legs will go out and protest. And a portion of them will work for all they're worth to try to punish the people who punished them. That's in the states that have the Medicaid expansion, which this bill guts. You can expand Medicaid till hell freezes over, but if there's no money for it, there's no Medicaid. Funny how it works that way. But in the states that never expanded Medicaid, people won't march because they will not be angry about what they have never had. They will go on living lives dedicated to eating, excreting, and dying, lather, rinsing, and repeating. And the gerrymandering will work, and the voter suppression will work. And, you know, it's only 15, 20, 25 the Democrats would need to take to regain control of the House. But I don't know if we fully understand how monumental that challenge is. Good God, I read somewhere earlier today that the modification that got this bill passed yesterday that put in a paltry $8 billion out of 24 needed over 10 years. Yeah, that was a guy sitting in his summer home on Long Island. How in the name of anything sacred is there even one member of Congress who is a Republican representing anyone in the New York City area? Jeebus. I mean, this is a real crisis. Barkway points out in the chat room, I'm in the worst category, Bob. In the 50 to 64 age group with pre-existings, live on a fixed income. The AHCA could kill me. I know. I'm in the same demographic. And, you know, it's not so much... And most people who have a pre-existing condition don't have a pre-existing condition. They have pre-existing conditions. Things like high blood pressure. If you've got high blood pressure, you've probably got high cholesterol. If you've got high cholesterol, you've probably got high triglyceridelitis or something. If you got that, you probably got a bad gallbladder. If you got that, you might have a bad spleen. If you got a bad spleen, you might wind up, a bad pancreas. If you got a bad pancreas, you might wind up with a bad spleen. If you got all of those things, well, hell, you're just... you're one goddamn Dorito dipped in melted Velveeta away from IBS or Crohn's disease or God only knows what. And good old diabetes. Yeah. Les says, don't sleep on New York, Bob. We make top quality assholes out here, too. Peter King. How's that guy even still a member of Congress? Have they gerrymandered the city of New York so that he's guaranteed a perpetual position by virtue of having all the Archie Bunkers in the greater New York area clusterfucked into one district? Is that it? I don't know. How many supporters of the AHCA, the ACA, are from Alabama? How many of those seats are at risk? Zero. How about Mississippi Stan? Zero. Louisiana Stan. And they even got, the Jim is out there somewhere, our buddy Jim in Louisiana Stan. They got the Medicaid expansion. there are zero members of Congress at risk. And it's like that for state after state after state after state. One could ask, how in God's name is there still a single... Okay, one, Orange County, that's it, but really. Because the question I was going to ask is, how is there still even one Republican member of Congress from the state of California? But there are several, and not just Orange County. The Central Valley. LaMalfa up there in Northern California, who misrepresents Sparky. Clarity's good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, repig-licking in Eastern Oregon. And it goes back to what I have said so many times before. If you have an asshole in Congress, then you may take it for granted that that asshole in Congress was sent there by a bunch of assholes back home. The United States of America has an asshole problem. Because that's how you wind up with things like the AHCA and Paul Ryan. Probably with his dog-eared copy of Atlas Shrugged, with all the pages stuck together in the sexy time parts, standing there in the Rose Garden, grinning like a fox eating shit out of a wire brush, because he has just gotten off knowing how many American people he has dry popped. Yeah, Marty pointing out Kern County, Fresno County, likely Santa Clara County, Del Norte, Shasta, Lassen, and Placer counties. That's how there's still repig lickings in California. Assholes. Fred Upton in Michigan, who had such principled concerns about this this health care reform. And then with nothing more than a nod and a wink from Comrade Kumquat, decides, nah, he can vote for it. Yeah, he can vote for it. Assholes in Tennistan, assholes in Kentucky Stan. Oh, by the way, speaking of assholes in the Commonwealth of Kentucky Stan, Kentucky Senator and libertarian ophthalmologist Rand Paul has sent an official inquiry demanding to know if the Obama administration spied on him. Oh, why? Why would the Obama administration bother to even think about spying on Rand Paul, libertarian ophthalmologist? Ron in Raleigh asks, I wonder if they'll call this piece of shit Trump Care. I'm guessing not. It's a tremendous bill. It's a tremendous bill. It's a beautiful bill. Spectacular. Brother Deacon Asa says, look at the bright side, Bob. Soon your AIC Act will stand for American Communities Healthcare Eradication Act. I guess we're lucky that we already had AIC sewn up, or they might have actually named it that. Yeah, Placer County. My bad. I should have known that going in. It's one of the thank you. Thank you, Marty. It's one of those where you've got a 50%... chance, and you know, I always lose on those. Heads, tails, tails, heads, tails, heads, heads, tails. It's like the beginning of Rosencrantz and Guildenstern are dead. How's that for obscure? Writing from Alabama, Pennsylvania. Eric with an email. Bumper sticker says it all. Hey, Bob, I completely understood this whole shitty mess. And I mean the shit stream that's been running downhill toward us for the last 35 years. When I saw my favorite sister-in-law's bumper sticker, which said, "Whoever dies with the most toys wins." That's the brainstem level mentality we're up against. I've seen that too, and it makes you wonder if they think that they're going to get to be buried with it. You know, I've long pointed out that the people who have poisoned and destroyed Appalachia, I've said that they do that because no one has bothered to explain to them that they don't put U-Hauls behind hearses. I suppose you could say that for a whole lot of these were pig lickings. A reminder coming from Lizardo7 in the chat room. You gotta love Trump telling the Australian Prime Minister he had better health care. No shit, Sherlock. Yeah. Because he did that. I'm sure you've seen the clip by now. I told the Australian Prime Minister, I told him, "You've got better health care than we do." And I saw the clip of Bernie seeing him saying that with Chris Hayes on the program. And, oh my God. Wow. I thought they were both going to bust a gut laughing. Bernie saying, "Oh, we'll use that on the floor of the Senate." But then again, if you're a member of the Horn Family Community Congregation, you didn't have to wait for the Tangerine Tiberius to say that to Prime Minister Turnbull. You've known that for years because of the correspondence that comes from Robert right there in Oz, who has told us a number of times exactly what it means when you get sick or need medical attention in Australia. And oddly enough, people are not starving in the streets, and as he pointed out the other night, they really do have considerably diverse inner cities there, whether it be Sydney or Brisbane or Perth or Melbourne. Yeah, lots of diversity and lots of inner cities. And yet, somehow or another, they managed to have Medicare for all. Go figure. And then, of course, we all know my dirty little secret. I was watching the Lovebirds this morning. I mean, well, okay, Squint and the Meat Puppet. And it was in the early morning hours. Had to get Ferg up early so he could walk to work. And in the 6 o'clock downside of the 6 o'clock hour, they had on the Australian ambassador to the United States, a man named, I believe, Joe Hockey. One would think that a guy named Joe Hockey would be the Australian ambassador to Canada and that maybe we'd get Fred Football, but you know, fuck it, it doesn't work that way sometimes. But Joe Hockey was there, and he talked about, he said, "Well, your President Trump, he speaks for a lot of people in Middle America whose voices have not been heard." Does he now, Joe? And I immediately thought, some bitch. Since when have white people's voices not been heard in Merca? The greatest country in the history of the world on earth, now, today, in the universe, forever, amen, under God. But there it was. Yep. The Mar-a-Lago Mussolini speaks for people whose voices have not been heard. Funny, I heard him. I heard him shrieking in the parking lots during the primary and general election campaigns, talking about the goddamn Mexicans and the women wearing Trump can grab my T-shirts with an arrow pointing at their crotches. I heard them. Who is it that didn't hear them? What? I get it. Those people didn't hear them and understand that Billy Joe Bob Bubba and Melinda Cindy Sue are actually better than them. I know. Reprint the bumper stickers. Giant Meteor 2018. Get it over with already. Yeah, Marty, I know. I know. I have happy news as we come up to the close of the hour. Thank you to Brian. And thank you to... thank you to Glenn Cairn. We have met Chris's challenge. Chris's Get Bob Back on the Road challenge. Thank you to both of you very, very kindly. That means that another $50 and we've raised another evening's funds. Thank you so very kindly. This was not a planned financial crisis, believe you me. So we'll just keep trying to plug away with the understanding that this is necessary just to deal with this immediate the slow rolling disaster. It is, of course, Friday on the Front Porch. Another reminder, if you've never participated, you'd really enjoy yourself giving it a go. And if you'd like to, fire up Skype and send a contact request on Skype to Sparky Dunk, SparkyDunc, Sparky Dunk, one word. He'll show you how to get into the conversation, and we will have a Jim Dandy of a conversation as we move through the remaining 2 hours of the program. Okay. Take your victories where you can find them. Here's a little one. The Mar-a-Lago Mussolini's nominee for Secretary of the Army has withdrawn his name from consideration. After 42 minutes of audio turned up, in which Dr. Mark Green, another one of those Republican doctors who couldn't put on a bandana or a Band-Aid without killing someone, speaking to a church in Cincinnati, Ohio, talking about the government's role in crushing evil by opposing transgender equality. There was also previous audio of him describing, saying, quote, transgender is a disease. He also, in this audio, it talks about how evolution isn't real. And if I recall correctly, I saw a post from Carol Baker noting that this is the anniversary of the Scopes monkey trial in Dayton, Tennessee. How ironic. Yes. Speaking to the group of good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, homosexuals in Cincinnati, Dr. Mark Green said, "I look at the world around me and I draw the conclusion that it was made. I know God that the next step for me is to pursue you and figure out what it is, and
why you made me, but before all that, I can't get away from the fact that you created me. It is intuitively obvious to even the most casual observer.
For, given the proposition that all mackerel are fish and all fish live underwater, Dr. Mark Green will conclude not that all mackerel live underwater, but that trout live in trees, or that if he buys kippers, or it will not rain. Yes. And then, of course, Dr. Mark Green, not being satisfied with all the other stuff that he doesn't believe, made clear that he also...
The theory of relativity is only a theory. Some people accept it, but that requires somewhat of a degree of faith.
Well, he gone. And so the Army will have to do with a different secretary. And I'm sure there is someone every bit as odious as Dr. Mark Green waiting in the wings. Note coming from Ron and Raleigh. Holy shit! I thought you were bullshitting. Then I opened my local fish wrap. I saw that Squint and the meat puppet are engaged. Hell, I guess since they're already in an abusive relationship on air, they may as well make it official. Yeah, he's going to make an honest woman of her. I don't think anybody can ever make an honest man of him. Yeah, when I heard that news, I went back and I replayed that clip of him screaming at her on air for daring to mock his comparison of Ivanka Trump to Robert F. Kennedy. And I thought, lady, I hope you got 911 on speed dial and stay the hell away from the coffee tables. Excuse me. Cliff Soonis! A little backgrounder on Joe Hockey. Robert in Australia says there's a little bit of film of Joe Hockey protesting university fees when he was at university a few decades back. He was the treasurer of Australia in the Tony Abbott government from September 2013 to September 2015, during which time he pushed for the American system of $100,000 university degrees because Australia couldn't afford the current system, which is why that piece of film came to light. In other words... Igamfu. Like Ken Ham, Robert notes, I'm hoping he stays in the USA forever. Oh, you know, maybe he can go and find himself a little bungalow in one of those communities in middle America where the white people have never been heard. I'm sure he'll love it there. All right, then, let's take a break. And fire up the extraordinary, ordinary roundtable that is Friday on the Front Porch. Shall we? Yes. Oh, and a reminder, if you absolutely cannot use Skype, we have the stress line for you. 304-663-4676. And it works for some, but not for others. But either way, you know, you're welcome to give it a try. This is listener-supported conversation radio. This is The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid. We'll be back. Something from Thin Lizzy. Killer on the Loose. I prefer the plural. I mean, when you're counting all the Republicans, it's killers. And yeah, they are. They are on the loose. Yes, indeed, they are. It is Friday on the front porch, on the horn. We've got a good gang gathered together. I had Trey on the stress line there for a minute. Note coming from Libby. Hey, Bob, happy I could donate. Longtime fan. Found you recently. You crack me up at times in a good way. Good music, too. Last week, the horn feed fucked up a couple of times, maybe on this end. They are, after all, the progressives online, I'm sure, but then a conspiracy mind would think that after a couple of years watching the conspiracies. Yeah. Thank you very, very much indeed. We appreciate it. We appreciate the help most sincerely. And thanks very kindly to Angel in California. We've got $40 to go to finish off $200 of fundraising this evening. And hopefully hopefully we'll just continue from there. I'm not just trying to turn to it, but, you know, it's frightening. There's a statistic out there. Sparky is standing by. We want to make sure we hear from Billable Rick this evening, because I guess he's in pretty short order. Is that right, Sparky?
Yes, that's what he told me. I'd be surprised to hear where he's going.
Okay, well, let's find out. Oh, Billable Rick. I hope he hasn't bugged out already.
No, but he's in the room. He just must be away from the mic.
I was expecting it to sound like an airplane hangar, but it doesn't.
No, I just got the one fan running today. It's only 82 degrees. It was supposed to be cooler, but it's nice just to have some air moving in here, because I'm in a metal building now.
Wow, that's, yes, it gets right warm, I guess.
The sun comes out, it heats the walls up pretty good on the west side in the afternoon.
Oh, I can imagine. But the hay finally got caught, right? Not caught.
Oh. Judy looked out the window the other night and yelled at me. She goes, "The swather's out in the pasture mowing." And I'm running out here and I'm like, yay!
I can breathe.
Because there's three pastures right behind me. And then there's another one north of those that he gets hay off of. For some reason, he didn't do this one pasture on the east side that he doesn't water during the summer, and he doesn't rotate the cows in and out of.
Well, but you're getting so the main thing is they're getting relief.
Oh yeah, I think. No, the swathers.
I don't necessarily know what a swather is. That's how unfarmy I am.
It's still there. Well, it's got like a big one. It's like, oh, I'd say 20 feet wide at the front. It has blades on it, and it mows down all the stuff, and it sucks it all up, and then it puts it through a chute in the back. Comes out one big long trail. So then they come along.
Oh, okay, okay. I know what that is.
Yeah, then they come along a few days after that, and he has a hay rake that turns it. And he'll do that one or two times. That way they make sure they get most of the moisture out of it or whatever for baling. And then they come through with the baler. And then once the bales are laid down, then they come through with the harrow bed. It's the thing that picks up the bales.
Yeah. And are these ordinary size bales, or are these those industrial strength ones?
These are regular size bales of hay.
Oh, so you know, one strapping good cowboy can throw one around.
Yeah, because you throw them around later to feed your cows.
Right. Yeah, Ferg was during Ferg's cowboy days. He was telling me about the Giganto Mondo Huge bales.
I guess they may do that up there.
Yeah. Hey, Billable Rick, are you back yet? Well, I hate to not hear from him, especially if he's off on an adventure.
Well, I can tell you what it is if he doesn't show up.
Okay, we'll wait and see if he does. But he's got 15 minutes and he's on the clock.
Yeah,
I'm told the stream has disappeared again. Oh joy! I hate to pester Ben about it, but I think I'm going to have to see if we can have a little conversation this weekend just to try to figure out what is going on. Because I got no clue. I'm not seeing any buffering here. That's one of the, I don't know. Maybe that's one of those things Mr. Soros could help us out with. I don't. But you know, he doesn't answer his mail.
Hey, you good on TuneIn?
Okay, TuneIn's back up. Good. Thank you.
I just clicked on it. I had it closed, so I clicked on it again. You were talking just the same as I heard through my headphones almost.
Okay. Good. Well, let's wander around the room. Jenny is in early this evening, and quite often that is not the case, and we only say, hi, Jenny, bye, Jenny, at the end of the program. Hi, Jenny.
Hi, Bob.
How in the world are you?
Good. How are you?
Pretty good. Has spring sprung in the wilds of Wisconsin?
Yes, and it's horrible. Like, I've got really bad spring allergies, and it's been horrible.
No. From now on, when we say that, we have to say that like our tiny-handed leader. Horrible. Horrible.
Horrible. It's been horrible.
Horrible.
Bigly.
Horrible
allergies. Horrible. You're the best.
No, Jenny. We still got to work on it, dear. It's not horrible. It's horrible. Horrible.
Horrible.
As if you spelled it with an A. Horrible. Yeah.
What is with his wilting words? Oh, it's horrible. It's horrible.
Horrible. See? Oh, by God, I think she's got it.
So spring's here, summer's around the corner. I'm getting busy with like my work. Sorry I wasn't here all the last few months, but yeah, I was playing poker. It was awesome.
Were you cleaning house?
Actually, yes, I was. I got invited to play poker with boat captains. I came in second place.
Whoa.
I came out ahead.
Very nice.
I know. It's super exciting.
We'll have
but
to.
But they're all at work now.
So. We'll have to add never play poker with a woman named Jenny to never play poker with a man called Doc. Hey, Les, you're echoing. So when you say you're doing your work, are you painting? Are you painting a lot?
Yes, I'm painting. I'm teaching a class actually, like for older people, which is really good because I'm scared about teaching people, but they're old people, older people. I mean, not that much older. It's like 55 and above, and I'm 49, so it's not that old people. So I'm teaching like a plein air class at this really beautiful place here in Milwaukee. It's kind of like a Italian villa sort of place with this huge garden. So I'm teaching that. I'm entering a painting plein air competition next week. And then I got chosen to like paint a mural on a huge wall, which I've been freaking out about.
Oh, no, really? So, that's awesome.
Oh, it's insane. Like this wall is monster size. And I've never painted a mural. And, yeah, they like, you know, my more abstract stuff, my abstract figurative work. So it's just like, I don't know. It's like super visible and in a very high traffic place. So, yeah. Yeah.
So, well, congratulations on getting the commission on the mural. That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like chosen for it, and
my sister is an artist, and I've always, from the time I was a child, I can't draw an unfucked up stick figure. Okay, Jenny.
the straight line is the downfall of man. So don't even try.
Well, I'm not much good at the circle for the head either. Okay, I mean, let's just be clear. So I've always been envious of people who can sing and people who can represent life into art. So I'm tickled for you. That's wonderful.
Thank you. I'll add the picture of what I like proposed for the thing, and they said it was awesome. So I have no idea. Into the chat room when I'm done talking.
So now that you're painting, I mean, part of the reason for painting this time of year in Wisconsin is because with the next couple of months, you'll be getting some like damn near 11 o'clock daylight, right? Or at least
like
duskiness.
10
yeah, 10.
Yeah. Yeah. But I do like competitions, which is kind of crazy. Like I do painting competitions, and that's where I make my money most of the time. So, like, my competition, painting competition self is different than, like, my studio self. They're kind of separate, but whatever. And I do live painting, too. I'm painting a wedding, live painting a wedding ceremony in July. So.
Oh, that's just neat. Indoor or out?
What?
Will the wedding be indoor or out?
Oh, it's indoors, but this is, like, my fourth wedding I painted, so I just like paint the wedding. So yeah, it's kind of kooky.
Wonderful.
Good thing I'm a little bit of a showboater, but
well, keep us posted. We want to know about your showboating. Did you clean the clock of and take the shirt of the captain of the showboat? Is that what we're getting at?
Yeah, hopefully. No. Anyway. So, yeah, that's all I've been up to. So, but it's really good. I'm so glad I can actually be home and not have to, like, go, you know, play poker with boat captains. So I can.
Well, next time you wander by a Culver's, if they've got the fresh peach, get a concrete mixer for me, would you please?
I will.
That peach was just amazing all those years ago. Oh, it was yummy. Yummy. Spectacular. Right.
It was awesome. So like when Mike Pence did his vice presidential debate, I think that like his voice sort of wilted down Is that his name, Mike Pence, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And then Mike, after that, like,
well, around here, Jenny, we call him Mike Pencil Neck Geek, but that's okay.
But after that, like, Trump's voice started going, I don't know. That was just my observation. But I'll be quiet. You can, like, go talk to.
Well, jump in. Okay, let's try.
I will. Thanks, Bob.
Thank you, Jenny. Let's try Billable Rick one more time. Oh, Rick.
Hey, Bob.
Yeah.
He can't hear you. He can't speak for some reason. He said he's going to call you from the car. He's going to go pick up his son, and I'll be on the way.
Okie doke. Well, let's move.
Can you hear me now, guys?
Hey, there's Rick.
Oh, there he is.
Oh, good. What do you know? Jeez. I guess I had to hang up and dial back. The cat's disconnected my webcam. So I didn't realize it was unplugged. It wasn't working. So anyway, yeah. The big deal is I got two free tickets to see the world premiere at the Greek Theater of the new Al Gore movie, An Inconvenient Sequel.
Oh, excellent.
And the vice president is going to be introducing the film and making remarks before the film.
What the hell's Mike Pence doing there?
No, the real vice president.
Oh, you mean the guy who should have been inaugurated on January 20th, 2001?
Yeah, the guy who should have been number 43 instead of dim leader, you know?
Right, okay.
Yeah, so my son and I are going there, and then I've got dates pretty much the rest of the weekend. I got a date on Saturday at a Mexican restaurant with a lovely lady from Texas originally, and I'm going to use the proper term of the state rather than Texas. She moved to Southern Cal from Austin. And then on Sunday, I'm going to shoot pool with a fellow barrister who I met online who lives just a stone's throw from me. And then I have another date on Monday with a lovely lady who said she was a trash collector as her profession online, and she, of course, was just joking. I don't know exactly what she does, if anything, but, you know, and she listed her personality type as intellectual and her profession as trash collector. I said, oh, geez, you're like the first intellectual trash collector I've ever seen. Well, you know, I know there are intellectual cabbies, for example, but, you know. So, keeping pretty busy. And I want to kind of ask the female members of the Horn what their thoughts are on this topic. I've had a whole lot of women ask why I haven't gotten divorced, finally. I'm just separated. And the main reason is I'm not in any hurry to divide, you know, my assets, because I have a good federal retirement, you know, benefit plan and so forth, pension and savings and what have you.
Four words, Rick.
What's that?
Four words. Cheaper to keep her.
I know it is. I tried. I ain't keeping her. She's with someone else. Been for 2 years, so.
But
I
even
mean,
so.
Yeah. Well, I know that. But
even with the barrister discount, it's cheaper to keep her, man.
Cheaper to keep her. Okay. Well, that's what another friend of mine had told me when we tried to reconcile a couple years ago. But, you know, these women seem to have a lot of problem with, you know, the fact that, you know, I don't necessarily, you know, want to get divorced. I basically said, look, I'm going to see an attorney, which I will, to look at the options, you know. You know, because there are financial and tax advantages to staying married. And, you know, I need to talk to somebody who's knowledgeable about that and can approach it from, you know, that standpoint, but is also a family lawyer.
Well, so, far be it from me to step on the toes of the female contingent of the Horn Family Community Congregation, but I can hazard a guess at it myself, Rick.
Okay, they're afraid we're going to get back together.
Maybe they're not into the idea of you saying, you know, I've got two spouses and it's mighty bigamy.
I mean,
that one just never gets old.
Yeah, that is a good one, Bob. You know, the way I put it to women is basically I said, look, you know, if I meet the right woman, the woman of my dreams, you know, of course I'll finalize the divorce and we'll get married. But I mean, to be asking someone to do that like right after the first or second date, I think is a little bit early, let's say. I mean, I had a very, you know, the dates last weekend were strange. You might remember she invited me to pick her up at her place.
Right.
We ended up eating Korean barbecue on Friday night, went back to her place and had ice cream and watched.
Is that what we call it now?
It was really ice cream.
I know. I'm just.
And I actually brought her a dozen roses. I brought Cool Whip. I brought like chocolate, you know.
Yeah. See, we warned you about that.
And the problem is we only use that for the ice cream. That's what I'm disappointed about. but anyway, so I mean we went shopping after the Korean place, and you know she ended up getting a fairly sizable amount of stuff, like $120 worth of stuff at like a Nordstrom Rack, and I paid for it, of course, stupid me. and part of it was that it was her birthday a couple of weeks earlier. And so, you know, I as we were walking over to the store, I kind of made a comment about how, you know, so I kind of inferred that I'd be staying over. And she started laughing. She said, whatever gave you that idea? So I kind of like tried to play Mr. Cool and like, well, you know, I was just joking and that kind of thing. And, you know, so, you know, I didn't spend the night there. And, I mean, you know, we're just, you know, not really real passionate that night. But the next night we were. And let's just say that she had a happy ending, but I didn't. I won't say anything more. You know, all of a sudden she gets up and says, oh, there's a movie I want to see. You know, like right in the middle, you know. And so it didn't progress beyond that. And she basically said, well, I'll tell you what, you know, you can stay here if you want, but I can't sleep with you because I can't sleep with anyone else. I basically said, well, I sleep really, you know, I'm really easy. You know, I don't move and, you know, I have my mouth guard so I won't snore and this, that, and the other thing. And, you know, I just decided to, I'll call you back. So basically, I just decided to, you know, drive home at about 2:45 in the morning. And so we had plans to go out on Friday night. I was actually going to go, you know, to her place instead of go see the movie at the Greek. I really want to see the movie, and I will be seeing the movie. I mean, we had everything arranged. I was going to meet her at, like, you know, like, I don't know, 6:30, something like that, 7:30, something like that. And then she sends this weird text. Let me kind of preface this by saying, I saw some stuff there that show, I mean, she's an evangelical, let's just say, and she voted for Trump. you'd be surprised. There's a couple other people I've talked to who voted for Trump. And, you know, basically she had a problem with the fact that I wasn't yet divorced. I mean, we had plans to get together, like, I don't know, we had plans to get together tonight. And she basically, you know, went into this long discussion, these long texts about, you know, I'd be sinning against God if we had sex because you're married and I'd be committing adultery. And I said,
oh, run. Say no more. Run.
Well, here I, you know, I sort of called her on it, though. I said, technically, isn't premarital sex considered adultery? You know? And she said, no, that's fornication. And then I say, isn't fornication a mortal sin? And then she said, not as bad as adultery in the Ten Commandments. I don't mind dating you after your divorce is final. So, yeah. And, you know, so basically, I mean, I saw some books by, you know, preachers like Kenneth Copeland and, you know, these, you know,
Jesus Christ, people. Tunnel out if you have to.
Yeah, exactly. But this is the deal. She basically, she said, okay, well, we'll be friends until you get divorced. Okay. And then she texted me a couple of days later, I guess just yesterday, saying, I'm going to Vegas Monday. You want to come? And another lady that I talked to thinks that she wants me to go to Vegas so that I pay for the room and all her expenses.
And the gambling.
Yeah, yeah, and the gambling. Even
well, you know, the first rule of gambling is never gamble with your own money.
Right, right, exactly. And I basically said, you know, I don't think that's a good idea, do you, about going to Vegas? And she said, why not just go as friends? I like your company and you're easy to get along with. And I basically said, look, I can't. I'm too busy, you know? And so then she texts me like about 5 hours later, and she wants me to go from the west side of L.A. all the way to Pasadena so I can pretend I'm her attorney because she's meeting with an investor from Dubai who wants to invest in my company.
And your malpractice, your legal malpractice carrier would say what to the idea of you pretending to be her attorney?
I would get fired, Bob, if I tried to do that. I
basically said, look, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, my first excuse was, look, you know, I'm not going to be driving in crosstown traffic. I'm not going to get there in time, number one. You're not giving much notice. This is a lot to ask. I mean, I've come to the conclusion that she probably is some sort of a scam artist, you know. If not that, she's a very selfish woman, you know, because she didn't, you know, I did a lot for her that Saturday night. You know, she had a happy ending. I had nothing.
Okay, you've got
stuck with the bill.
Okay,
I got stuck with the bill.
So you've got a note coming in from Matt in San Francisco.
Yeah.
Subject line, take it from the gay guy. We can be very objective on these things. Rick,
yeah.
Run!
Yes, run for the hills. Yeah, run for your life.
Okay. If I can't sing, nobody else can either. Well, good luck. Enjoy the film. I got a feeling that this may be the best evening of your weekend.
I don't think so. I think Saturday night's going to be nicer. It's a very nice gal, Deborah. She's in management with Johnson &
Rick,
Johnson.
This is turning into 44 lines about 88 lines about 44 women, okay?
And now
you're getting mail.
Oh, God. Hate mail?
No. Let's see. Here's Steve in New York. Stop the fucking excuses. Just say no.
Yeah. Exactly.
Potentially violating the three repetitions of the name gimmick, wholly owned property of Ron and Raleigh. GK sends an email simply titled Rick, what are you thinking? And Ron Raleigh, who owns the damn gimmick, simply popped in with, damn, Rick, is Billable that damn desperate? An evangelical Trump voter? Does she look like melanoma even?
No. There's actually one who looks like melanoma who I called and she didn't call me back. So it's like, fuck it, you know? She looks like she's from Slovenia. She looks like she's a dead ring. She could be melanoma's sister, you know? Her name is Sophia.
Yeah, don't say dead ringer, okay? I mean,
That's not such a good thing. So anyway, you all have a good weekend.
Well, you got one more note.
Program while I'm on the
you got
car.
One. You got one more note from the the female contingent.
Oh yeah,
Darlene in Connecticut says she's using you, Rick. Forget her.
Oh no, believe you me, I figured her out. Yeah, I mean, I wasn't gonna drive. I wasn't gonna get my car and drive. I was, you know, I was talking to other women actually at the time.
Which some people may see as sort of referencing back toward issues relative to said divorce, but never mind. Well, enjoy, Rick. Enjoy, and we'll check in with the rest of the room.
And Rick,
yeah, and if any of the female members of the Horn want to chime in on the issue about the separation and so forth, I mean, I explain it. Look, for financial and tax reasons.
Yeah,
send
the email to me, and I'll forward them to Rick.
Okay.
All right. I will, because I've got a few words to say.
I'll listen to you, Jenny. I can wait for another minute or so.
Okay. No, I'm just saying, you're billable Rick. You're awesome. You work hard.
Oh, thanks.
You're a cool guy. You go to awesome concerts. You're out and about. You do all sorts of things. Just be yourself. Don't try so hard. Don't, like, chase after all these women who are, like, insane. Just be you and some, you'll find somebody.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, she's the one who was desperate. She was saying, hey, you know, if I date you, I can't, you know, I can't buy a house. I can't get married, this, that, and the other thing. It's like, and we've only had, like, two dates, and, you know.
That's what I'm saying. Well, like, just go out into the real world and just be yourself, and somebody's going to, like, just show up. I'm going to put that into a pink bubble tonight.
Yeah, we cut, Jenny, down here in the hills.
I know you're cool.
Oh, yeah, okay. I'm sorry. Yeah, Tracy, you said I've met you. I know you're cool. Yeah.
Yeah, Tracy.
Look, no, I've met Rick, so I know you're cool. I mean, even for a white guy. So, you know, I'll give
you that prop. Oh, geez. Here you go with that again.
But Tracy, you haven't seen me dance, though.
Well, we know. Well,
see, I don't.
We all know what that looks like.
Yeah.
I know what that. I've seen. I've seen that, but no, I. I only caught part of that, and I heard, see, the thing is, not only you're cool, but you're nice, and you talk way, you over-explained it too much. When the first text, it's like when you were talking about your family after the Trump election and all the stuff you were going to go through after for Thanksgiving, and I'm like, way too nice. So, you know, kick rocks, and I'm glad you're not even, you know, thinking about listening to this person. No.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I mean, basically, I had to finally tell her, look, you know, I'm not going to, you know, make a decision based on, you know, not thinking it through. And, yeah, you know, I probably am going to consult an attorney just because I've had this issue come up with a lot of women. Not that I necessarily need to do it for any particular woman, but just maybe looking objectively at it, maybe there is something to the fact that, hey, why are you taking so long to finalize the divorce, you know? But then again, I guess it depends on the woman. Some women wouldn't give a shit, you know?
Well, we just got further input from Kitty in Boston.
Okay.
Advice for Rick, don't buy women crap. At least until you're married again.
Yes, I know.
No, counselor, hear the whole message.
Okay.
Advice for Rick, don't buy women crap. At least until you're married again. Oh, there you go. Wait. See? No, Rick, you gotta adopt what we call, and Jenny was alluding to it, you gotta adopt what we call in the hills the squirrel hunting rule.
Mm-hmm, okay.
Now, if you get your squirrel gun, and you go stomping into the woods looking to hunt squirrels,
mm-hmm.
You will never see one. You will never hear one.
Right.
If, on the other hand, you get your squirrel hunting gun, and you just go for a nice leisurely armed walk in the woods, and sometimes you sit down on a little stump, and you take out your phone, you play a couple of hands of solitaire, or go find a Pokemon or something like that, and you act like the last thing on your mind is squirrels, you will be surrounded by squirrels.
Okay. Well, so that's sort of just, like very zen-like, I guess, isn't it?
Well, it works. It works.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
in the world that I ever thought I was fine was a woman, and look, I found one just by accident.
Squirrel hunting. Told you.
Squirrel hunting. I found one by accident.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what, y'all. I'll be going squirrel hunting at the Greek Theater, so I'll be thinking of y'all. Okay.
All right. Just don't take roses.
No, that was way too much. That was stupid. I'll tell you one funny story. I talked to this lady who's like totally cool. She was like working cardio while I was talking to her. She has like five kids and she's like in tremendous shape. And she basically said, look, I'll tell you a story. Sit on the counter. And then she like quietly like walked away from the, wasn't anywhere to be seen. So he bought the shit for her. And then bad idea. So he like grabbed the bag from her, marched back into the store, his credit card credited for whatever he purchased. So that I'll buy the ladies dinner, drinks, that kind of thing, you know, and that's fine.
Yeah, I never even knew shopping.
They are in Cali. I don't know, Bob.
Well, when you're an attorney, you know,
you show up on first dates with Rose, Rick. Okay.
I know.
The only roses you should ever, and there's four roses. Okay. So just say,
yeah.
And those, and those roses only come from Kentucky.
There you go.
Okay. All right. Well,
you'll have great weekends. I better get going. My son is waiting for me at his community college.
Very good, very good. And I'll share a quick note from Steve in China.
Okay.
Subject line, paying the leech. I admire the sharing and communication here. But when the people writing the laws are dedicated to ignoring the greater reality, namely that the American people have asked for universal single-payer health care since the end of World War II, and simply deny the facts and statistics with an arrogance that approaches the presumption of immortality itself, what is left? The gods are dead. Science is the wing, or else the millstone. Single payer, federal administration, rational taxation. The entire developed planet does it just fine. I have no problem with the fall of civilization since I'm literate enough to have seen it all before. I do have a problem with the noise and clamor of 50 petty kingdoms squabbling over their divisive claims to slaughter and spoil. This will end when all the bodies are tallied. And by this, I also mean the ever-gushing wound of slavery. Because it sure isn't about rocket science. It sure isn't about rocket science. I get great notes from Steve. And think about that. Single payer, federal administration, rational taxation. And the greatest country in the history of the world on earth, in the universe now, today, forever, under God, can't do that? I may have found myself agreeing with Donald Trump for the first time in my life last night when he said, Australia has better health care than the United States. And I think we need to figure out a way to hang that around his neck and make him wear it forever. But then again, think about what he said to John Dickerson. I stand by nothing. I stand by nothing. I stand for nothing. He can just say shit. And it doesn't matter because all the rules have changed. And yet you've got the normalizers out there in the for-profit media trying for all they're worth to convince themselves, if they convince no one else, that this is something resembling just another damn day. So we have that. Hey, Tracy.
Hi, Bob. Just real quick, I just want to say hi. We're celebrating Alex's birthday. We're taking him shopping. Yay. But I have a real quick question for the room, and I know Rick is gone, but this is a friend of mine, you know, corporations and bullshit. So she gets a notice from her landlord saying, are you ready for this? That they're raising her rent in Northridge, California, because wait for it. They're raising their rent because, according to California law, they can raise her rent because people are making more money in Northridge, and so they can raise her rent. And for the life of me, I have been looking for this law. I can't find this law. The only thing I found is that they can raise her rent, you know, if it's in the lease and stuff like that. But I have never heard of such a thing that they can raise. And she just moved in March, for one thing. She just moved in March, and now they're trying to raise her rent because they're saying that they can raise her rent because people are making more money. And I'm like,
that stinks.
That smells
real fraudy, but yeah, that's just me. I know Northridge. I know that, you know. But the lease, the lease should control.
Right. I mean, she just moved in March. And I'm thinking to myself, yeah, take that down. And I'm just thinking to myself, this is such unmitigated bullshit that they could just.
She needs to contact the county authorities, Tracy.
The county authorities? Okay.
Yeah. There's probably some sort of a rent authority or something like that. I mean, if she has a year lease, they can't raise the rent for at least a year.
That's what I thought. Because that's what I read.
Yeah, so this is bullshit.
But just, can you imagine that there's such a law that.
There's no such thing.
According to California state, and that's what, because I read the notice, it says according to California state law that you take to raise through because people are making more money in Northridge. And I'm like,
that's bullshit.
I need to see the statute. I need to see what they, where they got their comprised that from. Hey, statistics. Where are they getting this information from? Because the last time I checked, nobody's making more money. As a matter of fact, incomes are stagnant. That's what it is. Nobody's making more money.
Well, actually, wages rose 2.2% last month, according to the numbers,
Rick,
that came out yesterday. Sorry.
I know, but I'm hoping that. They're just saying that specifically in Northridge. That's what they're saying.
That's bullshit. I mean, again, if she has a year lease, you know, then they can't raise the rent until the lease term is over with. Then they can raise it. And then I think certain laws in California maybe limit percentage of rent increase. But I don't think they tie it to how much the wages are increasing. How could, you know, they'd have to, you know, that would be too complicated, you know?
Right, right.
That wouldn't be administrable, you know?
Right, that's what I'm
doing it that way. So,
see, this is why I love my horn. Well, Rick, you have a good time tonight at your concert. Who are you guys going to go see?
Yeah, we're going to see the Inconvenient Sequel, and I've got my Bernie fucking Sanders Pabst Blue Ribbon-like T-shirt on that I'm going to wear.
Awesome. So, well,
I'm
everybody,
what I might wear my Make Donald Trump Again hat as well. I don't see.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, everybody, good night. Happy Cinco de Mayo. Love everybody. Good night. Good night. Good night. And Rick, have fun. And
thanks, Tracy.
You and too. And, and bon appetit, Alex.
Yes. Everybody says bon appetit, Alex, and all that good stuff. Good night, all.
All right. See you, Tracy. Okay, so I think there's a fighting chance we've got Rick's love life worked out. This feels like that conversation on the mound in the film Bull Durham, but never mind. Let's keep the conversation round going. By the way, in an effort to keep things moving, Steve in New York has put a $10 challenge on the table. And hopes that someone else will join him, and that'll get us to within $20 of raising $200 this evening. Thank you very, very kindly, Steve. Thank you very much indeed. Let's see here. To a little food for thought before we move around the room. Just got a news alert out earlier as well. Breaking news alert from the New York Times. And I'm sure this never happened, okay? I'm sure this never, ever, even possibly, remotely, infinite monkeys with infinite typewriters happened. Because it couldn't, because Pooty Poot is snuggly and cuddlesome, And I'm just out there with my ponerizing everybody. But the New York Times reporting a massive hack intended to sow doubt before Sunday's vote in France targeted French presidential candidate Emmanuel Macron, his cane has said. Mr. Macron's staff said in a statement that authentic documents, including internal emails, accounting documents, and contracts, have been published alongside fake documents to sow doubt and disinformation. But that's just not true, okay? Because nothing about meddling in the political and electoral affairs of traditionally liberal democracies is ever true. I just want to make sure that we're clear about it. Let's see. Hey, Steve from Georgistan, what's happening, brother?
Bob, you're happening. What's going on, man?
Oh, I'm just sitting here all ponerized.
Now, how deep is this brake job, man? I mean, is it from the master cylinder all the way back?
I don't know. When the right front locked, I left about 50 feet of rubber. I mean, I don't know because I didn't hear
God.
From it. But I could see that the caliper was slammed into the rotor, which is slammed into the wheel.
So it was froze shut in.
Yeah. And I'm just praying that there's nothing on the inside, like, you know, tie rod ends, master cylinder, you know. I remember this, for those of us of a certain age. Remember My Three Sons? the TV show?
Yeah,
there is this man. His name is Steve. Right. He's got three sons. And, yeah. Right. Well, I remember when Chip got a little bit older, he was playing, they had a garage band. And there was this, I don't know why I remember this shit, I just do. And there was a scene where the you know, they were playing, and then all of a sudden smoke started pouring out of the amp, and it crackled, and a couple of sparks flew up. And one of Chip's buddies looked at him and went, "Oh, man, that smells expensive."
Well, Brace, I'm not laughing at your pain. I know Brace can be very expensive, especially if something major happens and you
well and see this is where day. I've got to do search, because the same damn thing happened a year ago on the other side. So the brake pads were brand new, and you know, who designs an automobile where the brake pads will just fall out?
And this is a pup truck, isn't it? Or
No. This is an SUV. Or crossover vehicle, I think, is the proper term.
Oh, an SUV. Okay, so it's relatively newer then. I mean, it's not like a 70s model or anything.
No, it's 6 years old.
Well, man.
135,000 miles.
And it seems like electric sensors should have gave you some warning.
Not a peep.
You know. Gosh, months ago before you came.
Well, no,
to
I mean, that's like typically with, you know, brakes. You know, they've got
right.
They've got that stripe on them, so when they get worn down, you get to the squealy part.
Right. Then you,
and
know,
you go,
oh,
it's time for new brakes. And you go get new brakes, and you wind up buying new brakes, not new brakes, new calipers, new rotors, and God only knows what
right.
else.
You get the rotor spun or, you know, one time. Yeah, I've been down the road so many times.
And so, I mean, this... I've got research to do over the weekend, but no, I was hoping that my roadside assistance would actually include rental coverage, but if I had managed to hit something, I'd have had rental coverage.
Well,
since I was the reasonable, prudent driver, that problem child of the law, and didn't hit anything or anyone, no, there's no coverage.
Well, that's my line, Bob. Generally, rental coverage is a separate entity that you have to have.
So well, right, and when I talked to them, they said, "Oh yeah, you've got rental coverage on your comprehensive, but it does, but it doesn't count for vehicle malfunctions."
But if you just want rental coverage across the board, regardless of what incident, you need to have that added, and it's very inexpensive.
Well, they never offered it. They never even offered it to me.
Yeah. Well, you may well. Call him back and say, "Look, give me rental coverage." So I just went through that. Well, coming back from Gatlinburg, Karen hit a deer and tore up our front end on the Nissan. It's been in the shop for the past week. We just picked it up today.
The deer or the car?
The car.
The deer's hanging in the garage, right?
Well, I wish I had the knowledge how to, you know, gut it and you know, make jerky out of it, but unfortunately I don't. I don't have the knowledge, the space, the resources. Because here in Georgia, if you hit a deer, you own it. You can take it home, do whatever you want.
Oh, no, Virginia pioneered the roadkill bill. Y'all followed.
Really?
Yeah, y'all followed suit. Same for possums, hogs, buffaloes, cattle. About a half a mile down from where we live here, about 2 weeks ago, an elderly couple was, you know, toddling on US 60 at, you know, 55 miles an hour. And one of the neighbor's horses had decided to get out and go walk about.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it was not good for the horse, nor the car, nor the elderly couple. I mean, they were okay, but the car is...
It could have been a lot worse.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, this thing did about $3,000 worth of damage. Thank God I had comp. You know, it's only $100 out of pocket for me.
But now, you want to talk about fun. I knew a Department of Natural Resources officer one time who hit a bear, a full-size black bear, Appalachian black bear, at every bit of 75 miles an hour.
Ah.
Oh man, the total. There was
nothing left in front of the firewall. I mean, it was just Jesus. NASCAR had nothing on that bear.
He's lucky to be upright. You know, your friend, if he's, I don't. What happened to him? Is he okay? Or
oh yeah, yeah, he was belted and everything. But it
did his airbags deploy?
Oh, this was pre airbags.
Oh, okay, I hear you. But let me transcend. And is it okay if I transcend to politics, Bob?
Oh, please do.
Do you really think the Senate's going to pass this shit Trump bill?
Exactly as it's written, Steve? No.
No.
But substantially similar enough that it can go to a conference committee and we can and all the Republicans can get together and come up with a fucking they can all agree on. Damn Skippy.
And why is it that no one in the media will ever report on Marco Rubio's poison pill that ruined this Affordable Care Act?
The short answer to that is it was too complicated.
Well, it's not that complicated at all. You could explain it within a minute. Go ahead.
It had to do with what, Medicare reimbursements?
No, it had to do with reimbursing all the insurance companies that took a loss that signed on to the Affordable Care Act.
Right. In the startup,
right,
when they had financial problems, there was this Affordable Care Act for the insurance company. You know, more corporate welfare, but still you understand why it's there. And Marco Rubio led a quiet little effort to get rid of that, so that the companies would then fail, get out of the marketplaces, and they could declare that Obamacare was a disaster.
And that was by design, Bob. Bet your ass that was by design. But nobody, even their so-called liberal MSNBC, you never hear them talking about it. Ever. Have you?
No.
And I heard something very disturbing today, and then I'll let you move on to other people, so I don't want to take up the whole show. But Andy Lack, the new CEO of MSNBC, he is determined to make that station more conservative, and that's why he's bringing on the addition of Hugh Hewitt, Allison Camerota, and Greta Van Susteren.
Wait, Allison Camerota's coming over from CNN?
I may be wrong there. Okay,
she's the one who's teamed up with Chris Cuomo.
Fox. Okay,
you talking about Megyn Kelly?
Yes. I got him confused. I'm just spitballing from the top of my head, but I know fact that Greta has her own hourly show now. You know,
and it is unwatchable.
You can't watch it, and I'm going to post a link in the chat room.
The funny thing, Steve, is that this all comes at the same time that Chris, Rachel, and Lawrence O'Donnell are posting all-time highs for viewership and actually beating Fox.
You're right, kicking the shit out of them. And I understand there's all the people that got fired from Fox, or Bill O'Reilly and all that crew, they're going to start yet another conservative channel even further to the right of Fox.
Well, the plans were probably already in place, Steve, when it was looking like Trump was going to lose and that he was going to found Trump TV.
But as long as they monopolize the media, I don't see where we got a chance in hell, do you?
It makes things considerably more difficult.
That's not me, Bob. I don't know.
No, that was Charlie. That was Charlie.
Okay. Well, hi to Charlie. But
yeah, no. It makes it more difficult. And you know, there was an absolutely scathing piece in the Washington Post saying that
everybody who touched this thing, who voted for it, needed to be tarred and feathered with it.
Well, what flipped him was the Optimum Amendment. I argued about him earlier, that guy from Michigan, the congressman from Michigan.
Yeah.
I heard that Trump was on the phone with him, you know, the night before this passed, just having a tantrum, saying that he was going to ruin his career unless he came up with something. I don't have any links or anything to back that up, but that's what I heard. So they all bow to Trump like he's some king or some god or something.
Well, but look how little it took Fred Upton. I mean, that tells you something about the... I mean, I gag every time I hear the words Republican moderates.
There's no such thing. You might as well, it's an oxymoron. You might as well say jumbo shrimp, you know.
Because, you know, they're moderate until somebody raises an eyebrow at them. And boom, they're just teabaggers again.
But, you know, you called this Trump win, and I'm going to put you out on the limb and ask again, do you really think that this Trump care thing is going to pass? If so, we're all completely fucked.
Well, what? I'm not trying to be a dick here, Steve. But what was it about the Trump presidency that made you think there was any unfuckedness left in it? And again, I'm not jumping on you
No, I understand.
All I'm doing is extrapolating out a line of what I would call perceived normal conduct from the fact that we managed to put Pumpkin Spice Hitler into the White House in the first place.
And nobody thought it was going to happen. Nobody, except there were a very few. You, Michael Moore, Mike Malloy. I mean, you could probably count on two hands how many people called this shit the way it went down, the way it did. I didn't think it would happen. You know, because I kept looking at Nate Silver's poll projection. It's like, he's got 20%. And I was thinking, well, if there's a 20% chance of rain, maybe it might rain. But come on. I didn't think... America was that stupid. The masses to
okay. I mean, can we unpack that a little bit, please?
Yes, sir. Yes.
Why
do.
Did you think the people of the United States were more intelligent than that, Steve?
Was it intelligence or a big F you to the whole system?
Well, no. You said I didn't think the American people were that stupid. What made you think that they were that intelligent?
I guess I just have more faith in fellow man than I...
I have a theory. My theory is that you, like me, live in a place where you're surrounded by unintelligent voters who will believe whatever the pastor tells them in the pulpit on Sunday.
And uninformed, too.
Right. The closest thing to informed that any of these people get is when they turn on Fox and Friends in the morning and Emory and Marvelline sit in their matching Barca loungers and watch.
I will bet you 80% of the people here could not even tell you who their representatives are.
Okay, so looking at that, I think we tend to... what's the word I'm looking for here? We tend to overinflate the intelligence of the parts of the country where we're not, because we are surrounded with so much stupid. Oh, well, you know, the whole country can't be this goddamn dumb.
Yeah. Okay. The most ironic aspect is the people that put him in the office are the people that are going to get hit the hardest by him and all this nonsense he's passing. Oh, which takes me back to that executive order he passed. I don't know if you heard about this or not, but the ACLU looked at it. They were going to sue, and they said, there's nothing, there's no there. We're not even going to waste our time suing, because this is all just word soup. And I'll send you a link to that if you heard about that.
Well,
if you haven't.
But to get back to your larger point,
Right.
Do you have any reason to, I mean, and again, this is not me putting you on the spot. I'm looking for something that I can sink a fingernail into, in the very loose rock and dirt of this cliff I'm hanging off of, or this ledge. Okay.
Me, you and I are kind of on the same boat.
Is there anything you can point to tell me that the Republicans are going to stop being Republicans when it comes to considering this bill? I mean, think for a minute about the speechifying that will be done by libertarian ophthalmologist Rand Paul, or the pontificating that will be done by Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed booger-eaten future king of America, son of Rafael Eduardo Cruz, the man who forgot to become an American for a very long time. just spool that up inside your own noggin for a minute, and think about, you know, John Cornyn of Texas, or Jeff Flake of Arizona, or even Maverick John McCain, okay, or that noted moderate Susan Collins of Maine, okay. Who will be so principled until the vote's taken and she goes, Collins,
I. So if I hear you, by the time these people realize they have been stuck.
No, I mean, if my analysis is flawed, for fuck's sake, please tell me, Steve.
I don't have any encouraging words, Bob. I really don't, other than the fact that I didn't realize collectively that we were this fucking stupid. And I'm not including myself or you or other people that are informed, but there are so many people that aren't. I don't know if they're busy working their 9-to-5s, they're not tuned in, but it's going to hit them, and it's going to hit them hard, and by that time, it's too late.
Well, but even that, Steve, even that, that's another part of the false assumptions, and it's a package that are traveling with this whole mess, and that's that after they get their health care taken away from them, all these good God fearing upstanding Bible believing Christ centered evangelical Trumpansies are going to say, I have been chumped by Trump. Mercy sakes, somebody find me a Democrat to vote for. I am so upset with these Republicans who've taken away my health care. Bullshit.
No, okay? They're going to blame Obama. They'll blame Obama is what they'll do, probably.
Or they'll be perfectly happy as long as he's... Nah, I promise you folks, the last thing you got to worry about is the wall. We're going to build the wall. It's going to be a beautiful wall. It's going to keep the Mexican rapists out. The horrible, horrible Mexican rapists. And they'll go, okay, as long as we build the wall, I don't care if I have to die of preventable disease. As long as we build a wall. You know, fuck them. Look, as I've said before, I grew up 8 miles from the little pump-handled well where the water gushed over Helen Keller's hand, and she said, water.
Wah, wah. Wawa.
No, she said, wah. That's about as close as we can get. She was, because she had enough memory of sound in her mind from the time before the scarlet fever hit that she could remember and she could sound it. Well, if you took these same Trumpansies to that same well, and you pump the water, and you spell W-A-T-E-R, Trumpansy. It has a name. W. It is not meant to be.
No, no.
Because a whole bunch of our Douglam Alpha into the Congress of assholes in this country.
Then toss it back to you and let you talk to other people. Far from fucking okay, man. It was nice
winning. Former terrestrial, the singular lefty talker who called it.
Have a great evening, Bob.
We'll see you, Steve. You're not going anywhere, are you?
No, I'm here. I may weigh in, but yeah, I want you. You got a room full of people. I'd like for you to talk to somebody.
Okay, and
else.
let me add that I'm getting attempts to connect to me from someone in the land of enchantment. And I should point out that if you want to get into the group conversation, it's not me you connect to. You send a contact request on Skype to Sparky Dunk, SparkyDunc, one word, Sparky Dunk. Let's see who else we've got that we haven't talked to. Hey, Les, how are you?
Hey, Bob, how you doing?
What's happening?
Nothing much. Just got off the phone with wifey. He was talking about the vault and some of the functions and the regenerating power and all that good stuff. Still trying to figure this thing out.
Still sorting?
Still sorting. But, man, I love this thing. I love it to death.
What?
50-plus miles a gallon. You could get even more if you get your foot off the gas. Great.
And what is it again?
Chevy Volt.
Oh, yeah. Those are beautiful. I've been doing some reading and research. I guess Hyundai has come out with something similar to it, 50, 55 miles a gallon. They're calling it the Ioniq.
Yeah, I haven't looked into it.
I-O-N-I-Q.
I'll do a little research on that when we get off.
It might be worth
I-N-I-Q.
I-O-N-I-Q, and it might be worth your time because this is the first gas electric hybrid because it's the battery that always scares me. This is the first gas electric hybrid whose battery has a lifetime warranty. Because it's the battery replacement cost that really, you know, makes your hair blow back like an old Maxell tape ad.
You know what? And that was the thing too that I was asking about when we got this car. What happens if this battery goes bad? It's like a $5,000 battery, and they said the battery would never completely go bad. The battery has cells. If you have a bad cell in the battery, you just take that cell out and replace it with another one, not the entire battery.
Is that an L-ion or is it a nickel metal hydride?
No, L-ion.
Okay.
Yeah. And then
I think the Prius is a nickel metal hydride.
It is?
Yeah.
Well, you're in technical areas that I'm not even versed in just yet. I'm still learning. Because the other car was a 02 BMW 330. That's the one I was telling you about that I found that you can't just mill the head and bolt it back together.
Yeah.
Yeah, I learned a rough lesson on that one.
Yeah. Hard.
Hard lesson. And here's the kicker. The final kick in the back was I was getting the coolant bottle off of eBay, like $25, because BMW's part, the same thing, is like $150. I said, oh, man, you know what? Maybe that's the problem. I've been buying, like, these cheap eBay knockoff parts. Let me go to BMW and buy the right thing. So I spent the $200 between all the little connecting parts and the bottle. Flew down there, popped it on the car. We got on the road. We were right next to a brand-new BMW 640, and we were doing it with him. It was the best 5 minutes of my life. And then, smoking. Head gasket went again.
Oh. Yeah, and there's just not a lot of tolerance in that aluminum alloy head for high temperatures.
No, not at all. And this thing has been cooked repeatedly. But I've done some motor work where, all right, the head'll warp because it's hollow on the inside. It has a chance of warping. That's usually how you blow your gasket. So you get your head milled. Get an oversized gasket and you should be good. The block usually never moves because it's a big chunk of metal. On a BMW, the block warps too.
Oh, that's just beautiful.
Yeah, so my head work was fine. And in fact, I even went ahead and I drilled out all the head bolt holes because when I was torquing it up, one broke out the tread. So I said, all right, you know, I'm not playing with this. Got time search, drilled out every single hole in the block, put time search through the whole block with Loctite, torqued this thing up right to spec. And when the thing blew the head gasket again, it doesn't actually make it doesn't escape to the outside. It dumps into the water jacket. So I'm toasting these water bottles. Like, why the hell does the water bottle keep on melting? So when I talked to the guy at BMW, he was like, I can tell you, but you're not going to like the answer. You need a whole new engine. And it sucks, too, because, God, that car is such a joy to drive.
Oh, yeah.
The flying without wings. But...
Well, I love German automobiles. I mean, I'm not okay. It's a problem. Lucky for me, I can't afford them.
Yeah. Oh, I can't afford it either, man. We got this thing off the used car lot. We got it in 2014. It's an 02.
Yeah, my
we could afford it then.
my 1987 911 Targa went away in 2002.
Wow.
Yeah. That was, but you can't put a family of six in a 911.
Yeah. Just
ain't no way.
No. Yep.
And in fact, you're in trouble once you get past the infant carrier. The infant carrier fits nicely in those little jump seats in the back. Once baby's out of that, because even a baby doesn't like sitting in those things.
Well, that's not a backseat. That's like where you put your groceries.
Well, right. I mean, they only put it in there. So they put those two little jump seats in the back so that it qualifies as having four seats, which I was told affects insurability somehow. So it's not a two-seater, so they don't go, oh, well, you know, you're going to die. And you know, make the insurance rates even higher than they otherwise would be.
Oh, is that the reason why they do the same thing in the Chevy Camaro, where, like, in order for you to sit in there like a normal-sized person, you have to back the front seat all the way up to the back seat?
Basically. So, and by the way, Arnold tells me what Les is talking about with the BMW engine is also a problem with late 80s through early 2000 Volvos. The whole block usually needs to be replaced.
And that's great. I can't understand how the block can warp.
Well, the crankshaft, but it could be worse. In the earliest days of Saab's entry into the American market, a lot of people don't know this. That was a two-cycle engine, and one of the first Saab dealers in the United States was a young man of entrepreneurial spirit, a Second World War vet, by the name of Kurt Vonnegut. And he said he rapidly learned that if one simply put gasoline into a Saab without doing the oil mix, he said the entire engine would revert to its ore state, O-R-E, you know, just a hunk of slag.
Wow.
Yeah.
I can only imagine the smell. It probably smelled like Bethlehem steel in the car.
Well, it smelled, and the exhaust smelled like a weed eater. Or
that's crazy. Or
you know, an enduro dirt bike. I got one next door.
But wait, was that like a four-cylinder, two-stroke engine?
Oh no, it was like a two-cylinder, two-stroke engine.
What the hell? You had to be like what, 100 pounds soaking wet to even get that thing to move?
You know, those are the early days of the European manufacturing trying to get back on its feet.
Okay.
Hey, Bob.
Hey, what? Hey, Scott.
The early Saabs were three-cylinder.
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah.
They were three-cylinder, two-cycle.
And they were...
Wow.
Yeah.
I remember them.
I think that's the early origin of the phrase, another Saab story.
It's funny he said three-cylinder because after he finally realized that the Beamer's done, it's a wrap for that thing for a while. So I spent 3 days hunting cars down and, you know, checking out all different kind of cars. And one of the cars that she found on the list that she qualified for credit was a Mitsubishi Mirage. The Mitsubishi Mirage has a three-cylinder engine. The engine and the battery are almost the same size.
Yeah, and it's a party of a timing pattern, too.
And you step on this thing. I mean, you stomp the pedal all the way down, and it goes, and it's struggling to get up to 60 miles per hour. I said, "Hell no!"
Well, I had to be picked up by the Enterprise guy today, because obviously I couldn't go over there. And we were in a Jeep Renegade, which he despised. But we passed a Mitsubishi Mirage, and he pointed at it and he said, "Now that right there, that is the biggest hunk of junk on the road today." he said, "You gotta kick it downhill to keep it moving." So it's interesting you would bring up the Mirage.
Yep, and this is a brand new car. Absolutely, I don't think that thing could break the speed limit falling off a cliff.
Not even with gravity.
Not even with rocket assist. I mean, that was, and I'm saying,
not even with Acme rocket skates, right?
For real. That the lady from the dealership that was with me, she was 100 pounds soaking wet. So I'm like, really, this car is only trying to pull really my weight, and it still couldn't get the job done. I'm like, God. I told her, she's like, "So what do you think about the Ross?" Hell no. Not no, but hell no. And that was the moment where I just said, just for shits and giggles, let me just, you know, put other cars in the mix that she didn't look for. And for some strange reason, I decided to throw the Volt in there because it's a $37,000 car. I think we could qualify for that. Yeah. Sure enough, there was the Volt.
Yeah, and there's a tax credit attached too, right?
I didn't even I was going through the forms. I didn't even realize it was a tax credit, so I'm going to apply for that now too.
Because it takes it down. It's like $9,000.
Maybe that's only for brand new.
Which is Well, maybe, yeah.
Yeah, Josh, I can't afford that thing brand new. That's why I was just looking at it just for jokes. You know, next to like brand new BMWs. You know, like.
Right.
If I'm going to look at stuff that I can't afford, may as well look at Beamers too.
And well, sure see, enough, here in Appalachia, we
actually two of them.
Here in Appalachia, we rednecks go truck shopping. I'm driving a rental Dodge pickup truck right now that I mean, it's nice and it's got loads of power and it's a joy to drive. But 35 grand? No. Yeah. And that's 35 grand for cloth seats, regular steering wheel, no driver assist, no backup cameras, none of that stuff.
Yeah, wait, is this like the regular one or is this the dually one?
No,
like
just regular. 3500. Just regular. No, just the 1500 series. Oh.
Okay.
Yeah, seating for 6-foot bed. And I think it gets about 9 gallons to the mile downhill with a tailwind.
Wow.
Yeah.
Pass everything but a gas station, right?
Yeah, you can't pass those. Oh, and let me, about 28 minutes past the hour, we got about a half hour left in the program. I want to thank Kitty for responding to Steve's challenge, which means we got $20 to go to finish $200 for the evening. And like I said, we're just going to keep trying because this latest disaster was certainly unplanned, and I don't know what kind of joyful number they're going to hand me on Monday or Tuesday or whenever they get around to it. It seems like the longer it goes, the more terrifying it becomes. So if you're inclined to help, it is much appreciated because Jesus, who knows it and. Yeah, just sorry, but it is what it is. Let's keep the conversation rolling and check in with Clarity. Hey, Clarity.
Hey, Bob. How you doing?
Hey, good. How about you?
Well, I guess I must be doing better because last night I had a gig and I got called by my dead name, which used to really upset me, and I guess growing up here, people know me by that more than they know me as Clarity. And
and just today, for the sake of facetiousness, what we mean by that is They did not call you by the name you went under when you played in a Grateful Dead tribute band. That's not what you mean by your dead name.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
They didn't call you Phil Lesh or anything.
No. And today I got a sir at the electric company. And I was just like, okay, all right, I guess when I ride on my bicycle, I'm not going to pass as well as I do when I'm being chauffeured.
Right, or when you're all trussed up for the barbecue at 12 Oaks, you know, I mean, it's just... Yeah.
Exactly. But I hate to promote another program, but it's CBC Radio. This week, on the Ideas program, cbc.com/ideas, they had a program on the rightward swing in France, and... It sounds exactly like the 2016. They interviewed some farmers, and they were talking, sounded just like Tea Party people. But the interesting thing was this one farmer who was a professional, and he was giving his farm over to his nephew, but he didn't know how his nephew was going to swing it because they don't have any commodity supports. And, you know, they grow all kinds of crops, but they're competing against the farmers in Iowa for corn prices and, you know, blah, blah, blah. So, they're blaming the loss of the old ways in France, just like here, you know, in the hills. They're talking about how them liberal sons of bitches are trying to turn this country into Greece.
Oh, yeah, and that's one of the ones that just got right up under my fingernails during the election. It is technically impossible for this country to become Greece, because see the reason Greece became Greece was because Greece, you know, participated in the euro, so they had no real control over their own monetary problems. As long as you're printing your own money, you're okay.
Well, and that's why Canada and Great Britain have managed to do okay in spite of the downturn that we hit in 2008. You notice that they didn't have the big shocks like we did in their markets, and it's because their currency wasn't tied directly to the dollar. Or that's my conspiracy theory, anyway.
Well, that's and it's I don't know that it's necessarily a conspiracy theory, because. You know, we are the United States is the pathogen vector, the economic pathogen vector for the entire world. How many times have you heard it said that the United States sneezes and the world gets the flu?
Yeah, that's anyway. The other thing I wanted to comment about is one of my former classmates, has retired from the Army, and he was a grunt, he wasn't an officer. You know, he was a working man's guy, but he is still out there running up the flag for Trump, saying that, you know, he speaks for true freedom. And it's just like, God, he almost sounds like Timothy McVeigh, you know, in a way, you know, this kind of weird, twisted, you know, free live free or die. And you can't have... anything socialized, medicine, Social Security. You know, he gets his military pension, so he's not tied into Social Security, blah, 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 you know. And it just – I just don't understand how those – they can connect those dots. But that's just me, and I guess that's why there's such a schism between the right and the now angry left.
Some of it has to do, Clarity, with the fact that the right is not a big one for
navel gazing.
No, intellectual processing. This goes back to what this goes back to the authoritarian nature of the right wing.
Well, yeah, he's a strong leader, and we need leadership because Obama was a feckless blah blah blah, you know. And it's like, what do you mean? He drug us out of a real mess, you know, and with everybody clawing to try to bury his butt, you know. In spite of being a corporate Democrat, I don't think he was feckless in the least sense of the word.
No, that's just a word they were taught.
Oh yeah, it's kind of a second generation Gingrich, you know, playbook of power words. You know, you use the words out of the power book and you keep saying them over and over again. And pretty soon they mean whatever you want them to mean. You know, what it boils down to,
exactly.
It just becomes your own echo chamber. And you heard today that Trump wants all the televisions, the FDA televisions, tuned into Fox as part of a decree, you know, at that department. They won't be watching any other things while they're monitoring media. I don't know. It seems kind of weird, but he's already said that he thinks Fox is his network, which I don't think there's ever been a president to say something like that, has there?
No, that's entirely, you know, new.
I mean, that should be telling in and of itself. Even if you're ironically challenged, it should say, wait a minute. Murdoch is not even a American born, you know, and we're throwing all of our faith in that SOB capitalist piece of shit, you know. You can't always get what you want, but you can get my ex-wife.
Well played.
Yeah. You have a good one, Bob.
Well, I will. Any further gigs this weekend?
No, I actually, I've got one the last Friday of the month and then first Thursday, so I've got two in 1 week. But no, just what I'm trying to do here at home and on my YouTube channel. And so no money coming in, but I have rice and beans, and Toto has enough dog food to last till then.
Good on Toto, rice and beans. I used to be into rice and beans. Now I'm into like rice and bean soup. So yeah,
I'm higher up the food chain than you are now, Bob. You're more of a simple kind of carbohydrate.
Well, you know, I mean, rice and bean yogurt is pretty damn good.
Yeah, you know, but do you have to go to a Mexican tienda to get that kind of specialty market stuff?
We ain't got none of them here, Clarity, this America. I wish you'd quit talking like that.
Ay, 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 tamales bueno, fresca, y diaria.
Yeah, see,
fresh every day.
Oh. Oh, and what I wouldn't do. Clarity, you have a lovely weekend.
You too, Bob, and keep up the good work. You're saving a lot of people's hearts right now.
Well, if that's true, then it's a two-way street, because y'all save. It's like I was telling Steve. You know, I got one little fingernail dug into a crumbling cliffside, just trying to hang on. And y'all are the ones that keep that keep me from just, you know, right? Yeah.
Yeah. White Cliffs of Dover.
Chalk, I'm telling you, chalk.
That's right, chalk up.
All right.
Peace be.
Take care. Note coming in from Jen in Australia. Listen, we're flying out. I'd rather not, but I got Italy, and Graham needs Germany. I understand that. Germany's a lovely place. But when we're back, 3 weeks or so, I don't know, perhaps his symptoms, meaning, you know, the Clementine Caligula, his symptoms of neurosyphilis will have finally convinced enough of them. Oh, by the way, my recruiters scoffed at the suggestions, calling me a conspiracy theorist. I was actually calm when I countered. Supposition is not conspiracy when there exists evidence. Out of 12 symptoms, 4 are grandiosity, insomnia, hello, 3 a.m. tweets, patchy hair loss, gait disturbances, hello, fear of stairwells. All they did was jump on the last point. Why are they defending him? He hasn't got gate issues. Did you see when he needed Theresa May to hold his hand during their Washington Monument tour? They hadn't, because I kid you not, they both said, "We don't watch or read any news. It's too upsetting." Oh, my God, Bob, this is, granted, a far-flung minor branch, our Democratic Party with operatives who do not read newspapers. You know, Jen and everybody else, let me, just for the sheer joy of it, suggest a casual reviewing, or viewing for the first time if you never have, of the magnificent 1979 film, Being There. Peter Sellers, Jack Warden, Shirley MacLaine. It's a beautiful piece of filmmaking. And not to ruin anything, but pay attention to the eulogy. Pay attention to the eulogy in comparison with everything that has gone before. Just saying. Being There, 1979. There's a moment there. I don't read. And there's an element of prophecy in it. And of course, it's based on a book by Jerzy Kosinski, who has a teeny tiny role in the film. And that's the thing about prophecy. It's not magic. It's the art some people have of simply looking at events as they are and projecting them forward to their logical conclusions. It ain't no magic. So, Jen, safe travels to you and Graham. Enjoy Germany. This is a lovely time of year to be going. The late season Spargel will be in. And if you get there quick enough and you hang out in Frankfurt long enough, you might just get some boiled potatoes and boiled eggs with some Grünsoße, which is heavenly. Heavenly. Never mind. Hey, let's check in with Snork. Snork, what's happening, my friend? And one thing before we hear from Snork. Thank you going out. Thank you very kindly to Alma. We have now made it to $200 this evening. And ordinarily, I would say, yay, we're done. But under the circumstances, we're kind of not. Simply because I don't know what's coming at me. So if we want to keep it going, much obliged. And thanks for meeting Chris's challenge. Thank you very much to everybody. Okay, Snork.
I've joined the local platform committee for this portion of Iowa. And we meet Sunday. And yesterday in the paper for this area, it was disclosed that the candidate we were running in the neighboring district against, Steve King, is a former psychic scammer. Where she, you know, you'd call her on the phone and then be charged, you know, a certain amount per minute.
Really?
Yes. We just cannot vet a person that has a chance of winning against Steve King. It's just like, are we just shooting ourselves in the foot or what?
Oh, Jesus, I hate to hear that. But again, that's why, Snork, that's why these people wind up, you know, being in Congress for 20 years and more. Or 12 or 15 or whatever, because our side has no bench.
Well, it's almost like it was almost like a gift, or they were paid to give a candidate that they could beat. And hopefully somebody will third party and is this like already just all the support in that district is just deflated like a balloon.
And that's not good for the...
No, because these people feel let the Republicans go vote and take care of it as it is, and we'll be seeing Steve King for the next round. Portion of Iowa up toward the north, the leading areas in the country for wind power. Hawaii is number one for supplying their own people. Is really ahead when it comes to any type of alternative energy. The Iowa have really emphasized alternative energy. I'm going to project with some of the high schoolers here pretty soon, I think, on how to use decay heat from manure to generate electricity. So we have lots of pig manure up here. Especially, you know, now that the windmills are using up the wind and not blowing away the smell out to Illinois and Wisconsin anymore.
Wind turbines.
Yes, yeah, that's a sore spot.
I know they're wind turbines. We call them windmills here. We have almost no solar photovoltaic. I see maybe three or four houses in town that have it. But a lot of small turbines. And then the big, huge ones out in the farm areas. We have one nuclear plant. And we have a lot of other gas plants and other plants. But you can take the decay heat from manure and generate electricity from it without burning the manure. And it's still just as good or a better fertilizer after you've taken all of the latent energy out of it. Because all you want downstream is your minerals. And by the time you've biologically devastated the fertilizer, there's nothing left to stink. There's nothing left to be a problem anymore. And it goes onto your field a lot more sterile than it did if you just took it out of the back end of the cow or the pig. We've also got a lot of chickens. A large portion of the eggs grown in Iowa aren't for food. They're for making vaccines.
We tend not to think about that. And by the way, speaking of vaccines, did you catch the anti-vaxxer story out of Minnesota, Snork?
Yes. We've had this problem before in this area where rumors going around, usually propagated by the churches, don't be spending your money, go getting those vaccinations.
This is particularly strange because it happened in an immigrant community, the Somali community in Minnesota. And it started being passed around, don't let your children get to MMR.
Mm-hmm.
And then, lo and behold, it turns out that the group had been spoken to on at least a couple of occasions by the king of the anti-vaxxers, namely a fellow by the name of Wakefield. Oh, dadgummit, I've got him here. He's a discredited, de-licensed physician who got busted for that bogus vaccine report. And
yeah.
He came into he came into that community and gave them the brooga about vaccines, and they went from a rate from a 90%+ vaccination rate in that immigrant community to 42%.
Mm-hmm.
And in the meantime, this spring there has been it's been the worst measles outbreak in Minnesota in decades.
Well, we tend to put a lot of weight to fears. And for instance, smoke detectors kill 10 times as many people per year as sharks. Which are you more afraid of at night? I know people that are afraid to step in puddles up in Iowa at night.
Well, I mean, admittedly, sci-fi is working on Sharknado 5.
Six.
Is it 5 or 6? I thought I saw 5 on the website.
I thought I already watched 5 minutes. I've lost track.
This was like Sharks in Space.
Well, anyway, but that's just an example. With smoke detectors, it's you're more likely to be saved by a fire than you are to die by the radiation from the smoke detector. But the radiation from the smoke detector, on average, so if you kill like four people a year, on average, that four people per year that will die from exposure to the smoke detector will be across the other 336 million people. If you put how many hours in an expected lifetime, your expected average lifetime reduction is only 4 hours.
In other words, an acceptable risk.
Yeah.
Well, the disgusting part of the story out of Minnesota was this Andrew Wakefield charlatan, who being interviewed said, now he went there twice and told him, ooh, don't get vaccinated. It causes autism, which has been completely discredited. And asked if he feels like he has any fault in causing the worst outbreak of measles in decades in Minnesota. He said, I don't feel responsible at all. Well, who is then?
Yeah, and there are so many claims. Also, with a lot of fake medications, over-the-counter stuff, and the homeopathic medications, so many people avoid the correct therapy taking them. Not only that, but some of them can do a lot of harm quickly, and that's not well understood. But people will take any rumor they hear on the internet, but will not listen to people that carefully study the side effects of these medicines, or pseudo medicines.
Well, and the other thing about, and I forget, I think it was Tim Minchin that I heard make this observation. You know what they call alternative medicine that has been proven by scientific methods to work? Medicine.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sorry. When you purify water down to the point where you basically are rebuilding the hydrogen and hydroxyl ions, it makes no difference if it came from a pile of manure. It's water. And it doesn't have any memory of what was in it. And this adding materials in and taking them out in homeopathy, somebody says anything's homeopathic, I basically look like, okay, I mean, there's no function, no function to it. You're just taking my money. And the other thing with homeopathic means they want to avoid having any testing done on it, because that'll, when it's shown to fail, people will not buy it. These communities like the Somalis, you know, they might figure that they're being targeted to make their children.
There's a direct history of that. It happened in Pakistan, where people were murdered by fundamentalists for letting themselves or letting their children be vaccinated. I think I've got this story right. Because it was said that the aid workers were actually CIA agents, which, of course, we made worse by virtue of the fact that we used people masquerading as aid workers to ultimately find the location of the 6'6" tall Arab with the portable dialysis machine that we then sent in a SWAT team to or a SEAL team to kill.
We've done that in our own towns. We've done that in our own towns where at hospitals. After World War II, we were desperate to know what radiation would do to a population, and there was many studies where the one or the reasoning that upset me the most was when there was a test that was supposed to be done in Boston because the side effects would only blow out to sea, and they wanted to pick a black neighborhood in Boston. So they could affect just the one area, not the rest of the country. and somehow it got blown up into it'd be better if we studied it in more areas. And they also hit the black communities in St. Louis and Minneapolis. And so we have a horrible, horrible history when it comes to sneaking in as medicine and doing things to people.
More of that American exceptionalism, I trust.
Yeah.
Well, it appears that we are at the end of the program. We barely heard from Scott. Thanks for chiming in, though, Scott, on the three-cylinder, two-stroke Saab engine. It was good to have you in the group.
I wanted to make one quick comment.
Yeah, go ahead, please.
I was sitting in the bar this afternoon having a cold one, and they had Fox News on and the whole crew sitting watching it. And a gentleman stood up and said, you know what they should do? They should sterilize everybody for the 10 years. All the children that are being born should be sterilized for the next 10 years till we get rid of the rot that's going on in the brains. And everybody left.
Probably in a hurry.
I in the other room.
Jesus.
I couldn't even come up with there was nothing funny to say. There was nothing work.
No.
I mean, how do you deal with that? That's where they are. That's there's, you know, there were half a dozen, eight of them sitting there all watching the Fox News, and somebody's sitting there and they started with this, and I'm sitting there when I picked my jaw up off the bar. I couldn't even speak.
And my mouth has gotten me in trouble because I engage before I engage, and stream of consciousness or because I just, you have got to be out of your tiny itsy bitsy little mind. You really believe that? And it goes downhill from there. So, you know, I applaud.
I was vastly outnumbered, so I just left.
I understand that. And again, I applaud the better part of valor on your part. Well, you guys have a wonderful weekend. Thanks for being such a great group this evening. We really had a rousing conversation, I thought. Hey, Larry, you want to say hey real
quick? Yeah, I do. Hi, everyone. How are you all doing?
We are among the kicking and screaming.
Yeah, well, so am I. Working on my health stuff and trying to keep everything together here, but I came in while Stork was describing the talking about alternative energy. Well, it's good to stop.
Great. Maybe we'll get to talk a little bit more next.
Thank you,
Charlie. It was nice having you in the room. How did you get home?
I had a neighbor run me down there and come back and get me.
Well, thank heaven for small favors, because that, yeah. What a joy they made that for you. Well, Charlie, have yourself a good weekend. All right.
Okie doke. Thank you.
Bye now. Thanks, everybody. Thanks to all of you who join in this little ongoing conversation and participate in whatever means you do. Thank you so very much. Thank you for all the support you've provided this week. If we can keep it going, that would be great, because, like I said, unforeseen expenses suck. Back for more on Monday. And, yeah, I guess I would... happy Cinco de Mayo. Although it's not... It's an American commercial holiday designed to make Americans think they know something about Mexico. But if you asked an average American what battle it references, no reference to the battle. And God knows if you ask them where Puebla is, not going to happen. But out there in Merca, the greatest country in the history of the world on Earth now today in the universe forever under God, there are lots and lots of people drinking lots and lots of margaritas who will have lots and lots of headaches tomorrow because their margaritas will be made with shitty tequila, and that's the real Montezuma's revenge. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you to Sparky, our chat room moderator and moderator of the Horn Malloy Skype chat group. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, John Fox and Ben Birch. Thank you to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And yes, always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Good night, y'all, and have a great weekend.